you know, at Krasno when you were out there on the farm, and when the radio came into the scene, what programs were those early programs that people would listen to?
Well, one was Little Orphan Annie, and the Guiding Light was on at that time already on radio.
They were like soap operas.
Soap
on radio.
Operas only on radio, and I was listening to those. And he's on radio now. Yet, what was his name? Can't think of him.
Paul Harvey, was he on that?
No,
early?
No.
It was not that early.
No, it wasn't that early. I just can't remember to me.
But you must remember the radio and how important it was during World War II.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the reports.
Listen to the reports of the news, yeah.
The boys were gone and so forth. Do you remember some of that when the boys would leave the area of Strasbourg and so forth? You were living in Strasbourg at
that
time.
Oh, yes.
And they would come. Was there a big celebration when they
came home? When those boys came back, in fact, some of our boys that worked for us in the bar had to go, like Mike Lipp had to go, and even John was supposed to go yet.
Your husband?
My husband, John, yes.
Even at his age?
Right. Ray Beichler, Matt Fisher, they had the Blue Room. And they had to either go to service or go into defense work. So they closed up their bar and both moved to Milwaukee to work. And we were also supposed to go. And we had the date set when John was supposed to sign up for draft. And Mike Shoemaker was on the draft board. And we had everything arranged that John was going to truck during the week, and Saturdays we'd open up the bar. We'd keep our bar, but we'd open it up Saturdays because that was a working day. So Mike Shoemaker said to us one afternoon, you come over, I want to talk to you, John. So he come over, we went over there, and he said, John, just keep working. Don't go up and sign up for the draft. And we were the lucky ones.
You were the lucky ones.
Yeah. And like Batch and Reed, they had to move and stay there until war was over. Mm-hmm. And then they came back and sold their bar.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the other businesses in Strasbourg? Briefly, just tell who had what businesses in Strasbourg.
Oh, there was Junie at one time had a bar, Junie Nicholas, A.J. Baumgartner, Fisher Beichler, and ours.
There were five.
There was five bars at one time. Mm-hmm. Joe Bauman had the bowling alley, and that burned down at one time, and there was a lot of clothes. He picked up the clothes for the cleaners, and there was a lot of clothes that were burnt. I know John had a suit burned in that. Mm-hmm. And then there was the craft store, and John Turnus had a grocery store. There was Butcher Pete had the butcher shop.
Was there a barbershop?
There was two barbershops at one time. Mm-hmm. There was Schreiner, and then Abel Kampan, I guess was his name. It was Hollander.
What about the Blue Room? Was that important?
Oh, yes. That's where we had our wedding dance in. That was always a big dancing place, the Blue Room.
Do you remember some of the orchestras that played the Blue Room?
Oh, the Maslow Boys played. There was a lot of them came down from Bismarck, Otto Don, and
remember Mike Dosh?
Mike Dosh played not too often, that Mike. The Maslow Boys were some of the ones that played the most down there. And Frank Beichler had a band.
Do you ever remember John Schwab?
Oh, yeah. But he never played in the Blue Room much. He was more for names, days, and weddings.
Or private parties.
More private parties, yeah. Yeah, he played for the Melody Boys.
And what kind of dances were they? Were there?
Oh, there were the foxtrots and the square dances, polkas, waltzes. Mm-hmm.
As long as we're talking about music, of course, to North Dakota and Strasburg, Lawrence Welk was important. And do you remember Lawrence Welk as far as in your youth?
No, I never heard of Lawrence before I got married. But I met him about 3 days after we were married.
And how did that happen?
Well, our wedding was in my home out in Fallon.
And what year again was that?
1927.
Uh-huh.
And then we borrowed, that was a custom, nobody had enough dishes to serve a big wedding. Mm-hmm. It was small comparing to now. So the store always borrowed us some dishes. But what we broke, we had to pay for.
Uh-huh.
And the others we could return. So then John and I, after 2 days after our wedding, we returned those dishes to a flasher to the store. Fred Weber had the store at that time. And we heard out there that Lawrence Welk was playing at Raleigh, North Dakota, which was about 7 miles out of Flasher.
Uh-huh.
So John said, let's drive out. I know Lawrence Welk. His sister's married to my brother. So here John and I drives out here with Lawrence playing his accordion, had about a 5-band. The place he played in was probably about 100 feet by 50, just a small dinky place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't meet him until we lived on the farm, and I had arced already. And one night just before milking time, here comes a car driving, what the heck, what'd you call it? A sports car driving into the yard.
But this was about what year?
1929, I would say.
And you were out at?
At Grosna.
Grosna.
Yeah. And this car came driving up with a top down, nice car. And there's a man and a woman and a baby on that car. And I went out, John was still in the field. And they asked me who lived here. Well, I told them, John Turnus, and I'm his wife. And they said, do you know where Anton Turnus lives? I says, yeah, that's my brother-in-law. Well, he says, Anton's wife is my sister, and I want to go to visit them. So it was Lawrence, Fern, and Shirley was a baby.
Well, that's interesting.
And then I told them where they lived. They only lived about 2.5 miles from us. I gave him the direction. At that time, I drove the car, so I knew how to go.
Mm-hmm.
Drove the Model T.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, why don't you come back tonight? He knew John, because John and him grew up together. So we went to visit them that night, Lawrence and his wife. And that was the only time I've seen Fern.
Uh-huh.
And then Lawrence came back later on. I know one time he came to Strasburg to play, and we prepared for a big crowd, and John thought, well, the next day the band's going to come over and spend a lot of money in the bar, and I put up a counter in the back serving hamburgers and pop.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day he came in and he bought a 5-cent bottle of pop. That's all he spent.
Yeah, Lawrence wasn't too much for that.
No.
Then where did they have the music that the orchestra played, where, at the gym?
No, at the Blue Room.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day...
This was what year about?
Oh, golly, that must have been in the middle 30s. Because
mm-hmm.
we lived in back the pool all yet, and we didn't move up there until 33. Then he told us the next day he's going to play at Ellendale. So a bunch of us got together and went down to Ellendale to listen to him play, because we didn't hear him when he played at Strasburg.
So at that time he probably was traveling from Yankton coming up.
Could be, yeah, because he was with the bus. Then the next day we stayed overnight, and the next day we went to a restaurant to eat, and here comes Lawrence with his bunch, and they all wore overalls, not their suits.
Oh.
They said, we don't travel with our suits on, because we couldn't afford to pay for the cleaning, and so they were saving on their suits.
Do you remember when Lawrence would come on the farm and visit you and so forth? Remember that time when he came? Did they speak English only or German?
He asked in English, yes, where Tony lived. But when they got to Tony's, that was German.
They spoke German. Yeah. And Fern spoke German,
and
too?
Fern and I had the same language, so we could talk with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked the Barasana language.
Mm-hmm. What was that when you said Barasana? What does that mean?
That's just like Krasna or Lichaga. You know, like you, the way you talk German, they call that Lichaga.
Uh-huh.
And out where John was raised, that was Krasna.
And where you grew up, it was called what?
Barasana.
And so Fern Renner
was a Barasana.
Did you know Fern before?
I knew Fern, yes. But she was quite a bit older than I was.
Uh-huh.
But I knew who she was. And I knew some of her nieces better. One of her nieces went to Strasbourg to St. Peter and Paul parochial school.
Oh, right.
She boarded down there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then, after that time you went to see Lawrence play in Ellendale, in the 30s, and then did you ever see him again perform, like in the late 30s or 40s? Remember?
Yeah, he came to Strasbourg then again, and then he played down in the church basement, and all the proceeds went to the nuns.
Oh.
And that was the last time I think he came to Strasbourg with his band. Then when one of Tony's Turnus' boys got married, he came to that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't see him until we lived up here in Bismarck in 59. We went to Escondido. Yes, we had dinner there.
Was that 59 or was that later than that?
That was 59.
59 or even. What about Lawrence Welk and the television program? Do you remember those early years when he started on TV?
Yes, we watched him the first time down in Kansas City, Missouri.
And what was that like, watching a hometown boy that you
knew?
That, a lot of people anxious to see that?
Yeah, well, we were at Dolores and Bill went to school down there, and they had a TV at that time, and that was the first time we seen Lawrence Welk on. John knew him real well, so he was real excited to
uh-huh.
see him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go out to visit the Welk family, you know, when they lived on the farm, Lawrence's parents?
No, we didn't visit with Lawrence's parents.
Did you know any of the other members of Lawrence's family, brothers or sisters?
Oh, I knew the whole family, yeah, like Mike and John and Louis. Yeah, we visited a lot with Louis. And
do you recall, did they also play instruments?
John did.
What did
I never play, I never heard John play, but I know that he played the accordion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike was kind of quiet. He never was outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Mike got married after we did. I never went to the wedding. I was pregnant quite big at that time, and I didn't go to, John went to that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, he got married to a Hager. And then when she died, that was the first time I was out at the Welk home. They lived on the homestead then.
Mm-hmm.
Then Strasbourg, the Welks and us didn't live too far apart. I'd say about two blocks.
Lawrence's parents.
When
they moved to town, and that mm-hmm. was in the 40s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we lived on Shoemaker. We bought the Shoemaker home, and they lived across the street from Klein's.
Do you remember when Lawrence Welk's parents passed away?
Yes, I was there for both the wake for Lawrence's mother and the dad.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the Welks never—they've had a modest life. Do you remember going over to visit the Welk home?
No, never.
Was Eva living in town with them then at that time?
Yes, Eva lived with them.
So you got to know Eva?
Oh yes, I got to know Eva. But she didn't live there with them too long. Then she went to Aberdeen. Yeah. See, because Agatha and I knew each other real well, like my sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. They were kind of, they were real plain people, I guess, with eating and everything, because Agatha, like Selma, her daughter, said when she was here the other day, my mother was never a good cook.
Interesting. What can you think of, going back to your growing up in a German-Russian community like Strasbourg, you know, because you were married then and had a life earlier in that, your children, did they learn to speak German?
Art and Dolores did, because my mother-in-law wanted me to teach them German so she could talk with them. She even bought me a German prayer book, which I couldn't read, for Christmas one time.
So your mother-in-law never learned English?
Never did.
Never learned English?
Mm-hmm. No. And she said, be sure and learn, teach your children how to talk German so I can talk with them, which I did.
Yeah. And they can still understand today?
Oh yeah, Art can talk German good, and Diane, Dolores, but Diane can't. Diane talks like probably you do.
Uh-huh.
She never did. Well, by that time, Grandma Turnus was dead.
And your parents learned English?
Oh, my mother was real good in English, and she read English papers. She read that magazine, gosh, what is it, was it called? Every paper she got a hold of, she would read. She was a great reader.
And they probably subscribed to North Dakota Herald?
Yes, she had that. They had the Weisenfreund. And she had the Flasher Record or Tribune, whatever it was. No, it was called.
That was in
Tribune.
English.
That was in English, the Flasher paper.
What about the German papers? Do you remember any? Der Staatsanzeiger? Did she
No,
read that?
No, she never had that.
But the North Dakota Herald was very important to her.
She did have the Staatsanzeiger. My mother-in-law never had. She had the Josefsblatt, my mother-in-law.
Oh.
But my folks had the Staatsanzeiger and the Herald. And there was always a story in there, a continuous story, that she would read to when my dad had company. They loved, they didn't want to read, but she read to them.
What were the stories about?
Gosh, that I wouldn't remember. I
don't remember
the
that.
Continuous story.
Did your mother have, your mother or father, through the years, have correspondence with anyone over there in the Ukraine?
Not that I know of. I'm sure she did write, because she got some letters, a few letters that I know, but I don't remember her writing. But she did write when I got married. That was a daily letter, I mean a weekly letter. And if I didn't write it, probably every other week or two, she'd send me a letter, had a stamp in there. So I would write to her.
For you?
For me.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about the uncles and aunts of yours that stayed in the Ukraine? You know, and you had no correspondence with them. Your mother, you know, her brothers and mm-hmm. sisters, because she came over, and your mother came with your one brother.
Right.
The rest stayed.
The rest stayed.
Did they ever find out what happened to them? Those that stayed in the Ukraine?
I wouldn't.
Did your mother ever talk about that? What might have happened?
She never found out much either, because the brothers had to go and serve. And one of the sisters wrote that the parents starved, and the rest of the family was sent over to Siberia. And two of the girls, these two pictures that I showed you, they married Polish guys. I just seen today one of them with the last name, mm-hmm. who she got married to.
And there was no contact at all since the 30s?
Since the 30s.
Until this day?
Oh yes, there was. When they lived in Mandan, I would say that was in, when these last pictures were sent in the 27,
mm-hmm.
or 29, I think it was, when they were sent. She had letters from home, but then not very long. So she had didn't have too much in contact with them.
Mm-hmm. So it could be today there may still be children or grandchildren.
That living. Could be.
And that's something we'll have to pursue.
I always think there should be, because there were some that were older, especially her half-sisters or her brothers. There should be some, because one was born in 23, because he was 2 years old when he sent that picture. Mm-hmm. And he was a Heiser, George Heiser. That must have been her brother's son.
Mm-hmm. Your mother died in what year again? Remember?
Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
Was in the 30s?
Oh, no, my mother died since we've been living up here.
Oh, it was in the 70s.
I would say in the 70s.
70s.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. Yeah, she became 78. She was in a nursing home for 2 years. The rest of the time she lived in Mandan by herself.
And she, I'm sure, had some fond memories of this life coming over here, you know, as she was a young woman.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And then seeing what it was like, and things changed so dramatically. There was electricity, and there was a vehicle. I'm sure, do you remember the first time when there was an automobile?
Oh, yes. I remember driving in a car, I'd say when I was about 7, 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
because my godmother lived out in St. Anthony, and they'd come in with a car, and I would drive out with them and stay for a couple of weeks with them.
It was the first time you'd seen a vehicle.
Yeah. My parents never had a car, but my dad died young.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we moved out to the farm, my stepfather had a Rio. Have you ever heard of a Rio?
What was that?
Car.
Mm.
That was a big car, one of the ugliest cars that was made, I guess. It had a big round back on it. They were ugly looking cars, and we chined that car up sometimes.
We're real proud of that. You'd go to town with that?
Oh, yes.
Go to Strasburg, yeah. I bet they'd show that off.
At that time, now, see, that was the first car I remember. Then my stepfather, he was a little man, but he always had big cars, like a Maxwell, Overland 6. One time I know he had a Phyllis, what's that name? It starts with a P. Anyway, he always had a big cars to drive. Well, there was a big family. He always had to have a Phyllis Overland. Still isn't right. It was an Overland, Baby Overland, that's what it was. Baby Overland, you don't remember those anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always had the bigger cars.
What about the 4th of July? Did they celebrate 4th of July?
We went to Mandan for the 4th of July when we grew up.
When you grew up?
Went to the rodeos, fireworks in the evening.
What about when you went down, when you went to, got married and were out of west of Strasburg there? Did they have a 4th of July?
Yeah, we went to the 4th of July in town.
Was there any kind of music?
Yes,
in Strasburg?
They had a band stand in the middle of town, and there was a band playing at night, and during the day they were just moosing around, and I remember my first 4th of July when we went to town.
And what was the name of the band, or who was in the band, remember?
Well, the Kleins played. I remember them being in the band. And see, at that time they were all kind of strange to me yet.
Because you were out on the farm.
Yeah, we were out on the farm, but I remember the Kleins, because the Kleins and us got friends when we lived on the farm yet.
And what was their full name?
Eugene Klein.
Eugene Klein.
And Margaret.
And Margaret,
yeah.
That couple.
Yeah.
And Leo Klein, you remember him?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember Leo. Yeah, he was went to school at that time. I remember when Phil graduated the first that year. I guess when we got married, Phil and I are about the same age. And then they put on a play one time around Christmas time, and we went into that play. We must have been married about a year and a half because I had Art already by that time.
What else can you think of that was kind of special to you in your early years, that holidays or customs or anything that you used to do that we haven't talked about? Think of anything else?
Well, one thing that I enjoyed when I moved on the farm was I had a real good friend in Mandan that we went to school together and we were neighbors, that she'd come out and stay with us all summer. And then I got to go to stay with her for a few weeks at Mandan. And then another time I got a vacation. See, I always planned if as soon as I'm old enough, I'm gonna go to Mandan and go to school, which I never did. I got married instead.
Uh-huh.
And I after harvest time, my dad and mother said, well, now you can have a vacation. So he took a grain to Mandan with a wagon because it was higher there than at Flasher. So that day he says, now today you can drive along with the team to Mandan. I packed my little black suitcase and went along with a load of grain and stayed for 8 days, and that was one of my best times I had.
You were how old then?
Must have been about 14, 15.
Went in with the horses.
With the horses. And we stopped down the elevator, and I had a heap. He didn't want to drive with a team and horses through town. And I walked with the Mandan elevator up to where the Mandan High School is. That's where my step-aunt lived. And I was close to my step-aunt. And I stayed there for a week. That was the first time I crossed the Missouri Bridge. That was new at that time, too. They took me over and showed me the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Crossing.
Did you have much contact with the Native American?
Well, when I was a little girl in... I still lived in Mandan. We had those fairs. And the school kids got off those days when the fair was. And then we walked down to the fairgrounds. And I bought some candy. I don't know if I bought them uptown or down there at the fairgrounds. Those candy were like dollars in a tube. And I went around and gave to the tents and gave those little kids that were in the tents, gave them some candy. And I didn't get home until it was getting close to dark. My mother was out looking for me.
Uh-huh.
And we lived way uptown where, you know, where the Hardee's is now. And the fairgrounds was quite a bit for me. But I walked that place and it got dark, but I got a good schooling. For staying out. Yeah, we do. I knew a lot about the Indian. They would come. See, we lived on Main Street. And they would come, like, from Fort Yates, Cannonball, just carabines of wagons with their belongings on their tents and the kids. And just, there was just a whole line, and we'd sit out and watch them come in. So I wasn't scared of the Indians at all. And then we had no grandma, but about three houses from us, there was an old Negro woman living. She dressed about like the Germans from Russia, long dresses and up to the neck. And she couldn't remember how old she was. And her hair was just as short and curly as the perms are now.
Mm-hmm.
And we called her Grandma Kapru.
Really?
And she was the one that came to my mother. She was invited for my mother's wedding dinner when she got married the second time. She took care of us, brought us food when we were all sick with the flu. And we didn't know the difference that she was black or not. I mean, we knew she was a Negro,
yeah.
But she was just one of the best friends.
Oh, really interesting. So you survived the flu.
Yeah.
But many others didn't?
A lot of them didn't. No. When my dad died, the doctor said, my brother and me, we're not going to make it because we had such high temperatures, and my mother bought a whole lot then for four of us in the cemetery. And then she kept them until one of my sisters died and was buried right next to my dad then. Yeah, that was a terrible flu. There was not just a man then. Out in the country and all over, my stepfather's wife and my dad died 7 days apart. And then the priest, Father Clemens, got them together. He knew my dad, my stepdad, and he knew my mother, and he had said, "You each need help." And worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everybody got along, and they made the best of it.
Yeah.
And you have had a pretty good life.
Yeah.
You've been alone now how many years?
It's going to be 9 years in August, September 3rd. That I'm alone.
And you're how old today now, Catherine?
I'm going to be 83 in August.
Uh-huh. You're living an active life here.
Yeah.
I see you have a wonderful garden, just like you had at Strasburg on the farm. And here you've got a beautiful garden, a beautiful yard, and very active. And I'm glad you kept up your heritage, both in cooking and all kinds of things. And you have a lot of wonderful memories of all those years. And we're going to close our conversation, but perhaps you'd like to leave a message with those of us who might listen to this conversation years in the future about this German-Russian heritage and your folks having been born in the Ukraine and came over here and so forth and made a good life. And you'd like to leave any messages with us?
Well, I'm glad they did come over, because if they wouldn't have, we'd have probably had to go through that Bolshevik War too. I'm sure we'd
probably
have been in with it.
Probably
wouldn't be here.
Right, you'd be probably in somewhere in Russia or Siberia and so forth. Like, but what we need to do is help you in perhaps finding relatives.
Yeah,
because
because I have nobody. That's the way my mother was when she came here. She had nobody. My dad had cousins from both sides, but she had nobody.
Must have been a lonely feeling.
It was. She said a lot of times she sat and cried. She cried a lot. I can remember my mother crying an awful lot. Yeah.
She
all she had was us four children.
Right.
Sure, she had four stepchildren, but I'm sure it's just like with me. When my brother and sister died, I could feel it. You know, the hurt. I had two stepbrothers die and a stepsister. Sure, it's hard, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Not the same, huh? It's not the same. It's funny. And we grew up together for 7 years. I lived with those.
Yes, no. Your mother had to start a new life and lost her husband so young
and
came over here, you know, and had to leave of her brothers and sisters and parents and so forth.
She had an awful rough
life.
She could
write
quite
a story.
Oh, if she would, yes, if she would, she could write a book.
Yes.
Even from home, she lost her mother young and with a bunch of kids. And she was like a mother to those kids then for a whole year, because she was ready to get married.
Oh.
And her dad said, "Why don't you stay another year with me and help me out?" And she did, and then she lost her fiancé or whatever it was at that time, and then she found my dad, and she met him at the church. And she always said, "That's a good place to meet your husband, is on the church steps."
And she led a good Christian life, and of course you have led a good Christian life. And I think it was faith that kept a lot of these people going.
I would say, yes. And I learned a lot from Strasbourg people. I got to say this to you, Mike, I learned a lot from your brother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A lot of cooking. Your mother and I were close.
Well, that's real good, because I think the people, you know, down there are a good, wholesome people, are still close today. They would help each other out if they had to.
She learned me a lot how to paint. I never knew how to paint.
Uh-huh.
And like I say, a lot in cooking, different foods. Like,
what did you learn that was different than what you knew in cooking?
Well, she learned me a lot making different noodles,
mm-hmm.
and her filling for the turkey or chicken, whatever she filled, that was different than we made.
Uh-huh.
Learned that from her. her pig feet were different. And like I say, there was a lot. When we'd paint, she'd ask me to help her, and we'd paint together.
By the way, do you remember making your own soap?
Oh, yes, yes.
How did you make your own soap?
Well, we took melted a gallon of fat, 1 quart of water. Well, first you would take 1 quart of water and a box of lye. Then you stirred that up. And then you'd melt your lard and pour that in until it was thick like fudge. Then you'd pour it in a box and let it sit overnight and cut it the next morning.
Good soap?
That was the soap we used to wash. Yeah, that was good.
Your clothes was nice and clothes was nice and white.
Yes, yeah, because the lye that was in it. Oh, I made a lot of soap. That was after butchering. That was the thing to do. Make our soap for the year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we saved every drip of bacon fat and what we cut off from the...
Yeah. Now, lots of things you remember. Of course, you don't do all those things today, but,
but
the next generation's not doing that, a lot of those things, because
they don't believe it. I mean, that you live that way. Yeah.
Right. It's like a fantasy fiction story sometimes.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's a little more real to me because I visit with these people and I know it's real because the story is repeated by many people.
And the same thing, so you know it's true. There was a lot of times that I had that I baked bread and I didn't know where to go to find the kindling to bake it. There was no, and this was another thing, we were ahead of Strasbourg. We always had coal because the coal mines were so close to us. So we had coal all summer long. We burnt our kitchen stove in a summer kitchen that we baked our bread and did the big cooking. When I came down there, there was no coal. I had to go out in the fields and pick cod chips.
You remember that?
Oh, yes.
Tell me a little about that. I know we're changing the subject, but that's interesting for me. So this was in what year?
That was in 27, 28.
So that was quite a surprise for you.
Yes, because we had the coal at home, and we had kerosene stoves to burn, which down there, hardly anybody had a kerosene stove at that time. Then, I think it was the second year, my folks bought a new kerosene stove, a three burner. But we had a kerosene stove already in Mandan in 1918. And that my mother took along out to the farm. So when they bought this new kerosene stove, my mother said I could have that old one. So John and I hauled that down to the Model T Ford. We could take it apart. And John says, the only time you can burn that stove is on Sundays. Because Sundays, you know, when you work with wood that you find around the yard or cow chips, you get dirty and the gasoline, the kerosene was only about 10 cents a gallon and we had to save that. So I was happy just to have kerosene stove for Sundays. So we should tell the kids now, they wouldn't believe
it. You burned cow chips until what year? How long? You started in 27, of course you were in Strasbourg.
Yes, I think we still burned cow chips when we went into town. I still picked them. Corn cobs, you know, where the pigs ate off the cobs. We dried them. And
what about the winter months? Because you need a lot of
fuel. Then we had coal. In the fall, there were carloads of coal come into town. And then we had coal. But just for the winter months. Summer, we never burned coal.
And the house you lived in was built of wood?
No, that was built out of sod.
So you lived in a sod house?
That was a sod house covered with wood. The windows were about this wide.
So that was about 2 feet?
About 2 feet wide was windows, yeah.
And who built that house you lived in?
That was an old man by the name of Emil Kopp. There was an Emil Kopp that had a store in Strasbourg. You probably don't remember this. He had that store when I moved, got down to Strasbourg. And then there was another Emil Kopp that built this house, and it took them years to build this house. It just took them a whole year to build the bricks, because it was made out of straw and manure and so. Then he moved to Canada and sold that house, and my father-in-law bought that house.
Oh.
And that was the only two-story house besides the parish house that was a two-story in that area out there.
And that house, what kind of floor did it have?
A wood floor.
Wood floor?
Wood floor.
Do you remember ever a floor that was not wood? Just ground?
Oh, yes. There was an older house right built onto that. That was built before that, and that had these floors that had the clay they made up.
So how did they keep those clean?
They just sprinkled them with water and then swept them. That was the only way that. And those houses were built out of rocks. Now, my stepfather built his house that I lived in out of rocks. And it also had the windows this
wide.
Uh-huh. He built that before he got married, the first time he had that house built. And all the barns were built out of that. I'm sure there's still some of those buildings out there on that farm.
And at that time there was, of course, no electricity.
No electricity. Huh? No, we moved to town without electricity or telephone. When I was single yet, there was a guy coming around, and he was selling Delco lights. Have you ever heard of those?
Mm-hmm.
That they bury the tank under the ground, and then you could get your own electricity, and you could get an iron with that, a curling iron, and that was about the only. Few farmers got that, but my stepfather made it.
What about these different salespeople that come around? Was that quite a bit? They'd come around and try to sell things to you on the farm?
Oh, yes. That was every fall the Watkins man came around with a big truck. He had all the spices and all the extracts. And then there was a peddler, we called him. He came around with material. He had a big van full of material. He tried to sell you material. And we bought some, and I know my mother, when the Watkins man came around, she used the tub to put the stuff in. That's how much he bought. Liniment.
Oh, really?
Liniment, vanilla extract, cinnamon, nutmeg. All those spices were bought from him because they were a little cheaper than the store.
And that lasted the whole winter.
And yes, and you know, with 10 in the family, you need it. She actually took a big wash tub and set it out, and that's where everything was put in as we bought it. Nectar to make Kool-Aid. Sold all that.
Any other salespeople come around?
Yes. There was also a guy that came around when I was home. I liked music. Like I said, I wanted to take music lessons. And one time I begged my stepfather, why don't you buy us a phonograph so we have some music in the house?
Yeah.
There was nothing at that time. Well, finally I got him. He says, okay, I'm going to order a silver tone phonograph. I don't know if you remember the silver tone. That was one of the best machines that, coming way back, my parents had a Tom Edison. Do you know what a Tom Edison phonograph is? It had the discs.
And you had to turn it?
Had to turn it. Had a big
speaker
on it.
Uh-huh.
And my folks had that at Clasher and Mandan. And we took that along out. Well, with the 8 kids, you know what happened to the records then. Pretty soon we had no more records. So from then on, I always wanted a phonograph again. So he ordered that, and it was a pretty good machine. We had a lot of records in that you could order from Sears. And then one day, a guy came around and he was selling Victrolas. Had those all on a pickup.
Mm.
And I said, "Well, I could work my stepfather a little." And I said, "Why don't we trade this one in and get that Victrola?" And he made a deal with him, and we got the Victrola. Then after that, my stepdaughter got that Victrola, which I would have loved to have. It was a beautiful piece of furniture.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what happened to it.
What kind of music did you like best during those years?
Well, we had, at that time, we had dancing music, because we had a lot of entertainment of young kids that we developed. And this Sunday, we're going to have dance at our place. The parents would go in a different place and have their own parties, and we had dances. We danced to the phonograph. I kind of remember when we had Barney Googles was a good one, and Why Did I Kiss That Girl?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember.
What orchestras did you have like that time? Do you remember some of the music? Who were some of the most popular entertainers then?
We never did have any entertainers or any accordion players either around our area there. Mm-hmm. It was mostly phonographs that we danced to.
Oh.
The, what was that dance that we were just came out? That was, picked up the feet and...
Dancing was very big at that time.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big entertainment, yeah, wasn't it?
Yes. We get together.
More than ever. A lot of good exercise, too.
A lot of dancing, yes.
And they were good dancers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good dancers.
Did you learn how to dance just by going to dances, or?
Just by going to home parties. Home parties, that's right.
And they would teach each other?
Yeah. And we'd, when I became about 14, 15, when my folks were invited to weddings, we got to go along. And that's where we met a lot of the young people, too, then. And we learned how to dance at those weddings. There was accordions then being played.
And these were like more than one day weddings?
A lot of them were a couple of days, yeah.
Lots of dancing.
Yeah. A lot of the next day the closest family got together, and then they'd help clean up, and there was dancing again and food.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you can think of, Katie, that you'd like to mention? We've talked about a lot of different things, and
yeah,
of course,
sure.
Music has always been important in everybody's life, and bringing happiness either in church or in the home or in a dance hall. And
and then like on church feast down in Velland, that church was also called St. Peter and Paul. And that was a big church feast too, and there was always a dance at night.
And even at the church feast.
We got to go to those dances, yeah.
And you were really like a young teenager then.
Yeah.
So you learned young how to dance. And so you danced to all these years.
Yeah,
and probably you're still dancing.
Not much.